is at zero, and another Ute game is in the books.
It's a run, and it is Penix around the corner. Touchdown, Washington. It's a run straight ahead, and it's a touchdown for Jackson.
How about that answer?
First and goal, Utes. Trying to stay alive for the Pac-12 title game. He'll throw it instead, and it's into the end zone. Miki Sugaturanga gives Utah the lead. This is the ninth straight pass play for Washington. Penix going far side. End zone, Odunze, revenge! Throwing on first down. Once again, Barnes off the screen, got a block from Keaton Bills, and Sione Vaki into open space again, and he is in! Wow, blinding speed! Third and two, straight ahead, Dylan Johnson backing in reverse to take the lead! Could very well be a run for Utah, and it is. It's Jackson. He's hopping. He's driving. He's near the goal line and in. Pounding it home. Penix. Cannon shot down the middle. It's a touchdown, Odunze. Barnes. Throwing. Intercepted. Tupatala down the sideline. Dropped the ball right at the goal line. I believe the ball's loose. I believe, let's see, Mokubisi is on it. I don't think he got into the end zone.
Hand off in the backfield. Huskies get a safety. Huskies get a safety. They hit him in the backfield. JaQuindon Jackson goes down, and the Huskies get a safety to take a seven-point lead and get the football back. 35-28, Dogs.
From 32 yards away for Gross. High snap. And this is blocked. Truly outrageous what's happening here in Seattle. Fourth and 10 at Husky Stadium. Here comes Trice. Barnes staggering. Throwing. Intercepted. Dominique Hampton. Likely keeps Washington undefeated.
All the reaction, the post-game interviews, and your phone calls. The Ute Postgame Show, presented by Zions Bank, begins now on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in to the Ute Postgame Show. As in a thriller, Utah, they fall to Washington 35-28. Lloyd Cole here with you, Christian Cox, former defensive end. And Christian, we had ourselves a thriller in the second half, a tale of two halves, if you will. And all of a sudden, you know, Utah's offense comes out firing. Bryson Barnes is out dueling. Michael Penix Jr. And then in the second half, nothing. Crickets. Utah could not get anything going. They had their chances. They were able to stop Washington's offense. But they had, in that first half, they had...
The first half,
they had total yards, 306 total yards to 260 total yards. That 238 of that for Utah was through the air, only 68 on the ground, and they could not get anything going in the second half.
It was crazy. There's a stat that they showed up head-to-head. Bryson Barnes in the first half was 13 for 27, had thrown two touchdowns at 238 passing yards. Penix Jr. had 13 for 27, 198 yards. Again, you're looking at the offensive line in the first half was giving Bryson Barnes time. Andy Ludwig had adjusted the first drive there in the first half. They were trying to run the ball, and you saw Washington come up and play nine players in the box. They wouldn't spread. They wouldn't score real quick. But like you said, it really was a tale of two halves. Utah puts up 28 points real quick, 21 points in the second quarter. But in the second half, legitimately, the offensive line was getting pushed around in any pass situation.
Right.
They ran the ball more effectively.
They did.
I think Utah was averaging six yards a carry. You know, there was lanes to be had, but you're how you had scored in the first half was you did the opposite of what you'd been doing. You really threw it. You went NASCAR and you went fast and it was effective. But credit to Washington, they ended up hunkering down, limiting Utah's offense completely. Utah had thrown a pick six, quote unquote, air quotes.
What a crazy weird game, man!
Right?
Seriously.
And they were driving to score too.
Yeah,
it
they
was
were.
Really.
It was like one of the only times they were driving in that half.
In the second
half.
Well, the game really was kind of like a back and forth. Utah would take the lead. Washington would take the lead. But Utah had majority of the control even into the third quarter. Utah was controlling clock, controlling the game. But really, where champions are made are in the fourth quarter or in the second half. And Washington's defense really clamped down. A lot of three and outs from Utah. I think they only had four first downs in the second half.
Right.
Had some really – there was a lot of penalties in this game. I'm not going to do one to play blame game, but there was a really strange offensive pass interference that Utah had on Meeke.
And I will say this. There was a bat that was not an illegal formation, I think, was what they had, or
no, he
illegal man downfield.
Who, on Utah?
On UW before the first to end the first half.
Okay.
They probably could have got some points, and I think it was a bad call there, what they had. But,
yeah.
You know,
there was a lot of it, you know, Pac-12 officiating in general. But overall, just a weird game overall, but you should be thrilled to be a Utah fan and with the effort and – really kind of as a microcosm, you just lost to an undefeated team, a team that really, if you had your full roster, maybe you could have won on the road. But guess what? Real life is you haven't had nine guys this year, and Bryson Barnes was dealing, and they made some adjustments. And this is a game, if the fact that you have two interceptions, two turnovers, you only got one sack, and that sack was in the fourth quarter. Washington had no sacks either, Lloyd.
Right.
The fact that you had two turnovers, you were 0-for-1 on fourth down, and you only lost by seven. You block a field goal. Well, the block is relative. It looked like he kicked it in the back of the people. But
right.
the fact that you were in the game and had a chance to potentially win, it just felt like Utah just had ran out of gas. That's really what it felt like. The second half – just felt like
they spent their powder in the first half.
Yeah,
it really felt like
the Oregon State game. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Where you're trying to get something going in the second half, but you know, something to hang your hat on to be proud of. You still got two games. You lost to an undefeated team. You lost to a one-loss Oregon team, and Bryson Barnes left it out there on the field. But I will say, the offensive line pass blocking against Oregon and then against Washington, and especially the second half, Bryson Barnes didn't have time and he's running for his life. And
right.
So either the left side, Spencer Fano, who's a true freshman, he's getting better. He'll get better next year. Like the same issues existed against Florida, same issues against Oregon. Against elite teams, they're going to get pressure, but they never gave up a sack. But that's what led to the interception, is him trying to make something from nothing. And overall, looked like the offensive line on passing plays were getting out-physicaled. But the run game, they were doing okay. But it's one of those games you kind of just could feel the momentum. You're like, why are we not even moving the ball? And every drive was three and out and quick, and there was – really no spark, like you said, in the second half.
Is that something that where, I mean, you see that's not work? I mean, the first half was a different half where they were able to throw it, which is not a Utah. That's not Utah. That's not who they are right now. They're a run. They've been a run. When they're having success, they're running for 300 yards on the ground. When they're having success, they're getting a lot on the ground with their running backs. And they got, it's almost like they fell in love with the pass game and they tried to keep that going. Where they needed a, it felt like they needed a, and this is what we do, we second guess things, and they needed to rethink of who they, what their identity was, because that's not their identity.
It was kind of odd, because the first half they were trying to just establish the run game, and then second, the, like we said, the second set, Andy Ludwig went five wide,
Right.
And then started throwing, got a matchup he liked, and then he went NASCAR, and Landon King caught a couple balls. Devon Vele had some big catches. A career day for Devon Vele. I think he had over 160 yards on 7 catches. You'll give me the exact stats, but a career day for him. But that's where Washington was playing up. It's easy to second guess, like you said, but what's tough is they were in the second half, they were third and 20 or second and 17, and they were behind the sticks a lot. And the Sukaturaga offensive PI, it was a first down. That's an 18-yard gain.
Second instead and of second of a and 17.
Second and 17.
Yep.
Bryson Barnes rolls out to his left, gets it to third and 7, and then you're getting desperate. Where you look at all the pass plays that got touchdowns, the screen pass over to Sione Vaki to the left side. That was a first down where they thought that they're going to run the ball. He plays it perfectly, houses it. The deep ball to Devon Vele, a big catch. They'd been running that little skinny post, that skinny slant, that he then ran a double move and he was wide open deep. And so Utah on the third down, got to have it plays. That's not when they throw. They throw effectively on first and second down, and all the touchdowns they had in the first half were those types of plays. And then obviously Jaquindon Jackson, second effort to get a touchdown to be up 28-24 at halftime. So if you were to go back and rewatch every series, it felt like they only had like two or three series in the second half. And that's really what it was. I think they only had four sets. The first two were burnt quick. The third one was burnt with that offensive PI. And then the defense somehow gets you into keeps you in it somehow, get a block field goal so you're not down by 10. And then it was just a high throw, a missed play, a quick timeout. And then on that fourth down right before the end of the game that he threw an interception, he didn't even have a second to throw it. And that's exactly what, you know, Washington's defense wants to do, pin your ears back like Utah did against UCLA. Right. We should go back and look. I think they only had four or five series in the second half, and that's all you get with the new clock, because clock goes quick.
Yeah, we've talked about it. All of a sudden, before you know it, if you're down, like all of a sudden that clock is gone, and you don't have a lot of time to get back in it when you get down. And they weren't down big. I mean, they only were down
7.
Were down 7, but all of a sudden it became like 7. Just all of a sudden felt like they were down 14.
When you look at the fourth quarter time of possession, right? Guess how many minutes Utah had the ball in the fourth quarter? Give me a guess. 2 minutes.
Two.
2 minutes and 38 seconds. So 12 minutes and 22 to Washington. So when you look at that, that's why it felt so imbalanced. Right. Utah really, they had two drives total in the fourth quarter. No one scored in the fourth quarter, but Washington, they didn't care. They just needed to protect their lead. They got their safety after that big turnover. But Utah, who typically wins time of possession, time of possession was even going through the third quarter, 22 minutes to 22 minutes. It had been back and forth, but winning time, Washington played better. Washington played better offense. They went 2 for 2 on their fourth down conversions. Utah, if they get out of one of those, you know, maybe they get the ball back. But overall, I think I have so much, I guess, joy or happiness. Tough loss, really, but it's
moral victory.
Not even moral, but something you should be proud of, really. Like this sums up the season. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, if Bryson Barnes starts at Oregon State, maybe you get a win against Oregon State, or is it still the same outcome?
Right.
You're playing elite teams on the road. Oregon State's an elite team. Washington is an elite team, undefeated for a reason, probably going to a college football playoff, potentially be an interesting Pac-12 matchup between Oregon and Washington. If Washington can win out against Oregon State and Washington State, which you never know.
Like they're good. Like Washington's good. They just don't feel like
they're
playoff good. They're not playoff good. Like Oregon is probably playoff good because they have a decent defense and we know they have a they have a good offense. Like they feel like they're playoff good.
Doesn't this get you excited though for next year on 12 team playoffs? Because it's like,
and not only that, but you're so talking subjective. About hey, be happy with the season that you've had so far and the game you played. Like with what you're missing, and they almost I thought Lavonnie DeMooney was going to be out for a second. He came up limping and he came back and played.
Yeah, he played a heck of a game.
But you're almost without Lavonnie DeMooney, and it's like, geez, they can't lose anymore.
They'd be putting me back in, I guess.
Right, and so, but then you know, you're talking about, you know, be happy with this team that you have, but that when you're talking about that, I think you're talking about also what you have for next season, and I'm not ready to look to next season.
You got to finish strong. You got three games. Yeah. You haven't won bowl games in a while.
It's going to look a lot different if you lose your last games. Like your record all of a sudden looks a lot different than it really could have.
Well, it's not like Arizona's a slouch next week. That's going to be a tough game on the road. And you know what, do we know who won the Colorado Arizona game? I guess I'll have to look, but. Overall,
Arizona ended up coming off. Up.
Okay, so Arizona is dangerous, I suppose.
They are.
Especially at home.
34-31, nail-biter.
And they've been playing everybody tight. So, you know, finishing out the season strong, I think Kyle Whittingham will have them do it. But, you know, the difference of going 1-2 to end or 0-3 to end the season versus 2-1 or even 3-0. 3-0 is the finish Utah wants to have. That makes you a 10-win team. You've put together a solid season, considering all of the adversity, considering all the injuries, and you'll be seeing who's going to come back. Does Cam Rising come back? Is Isaac Wilson a starter? Does Bryson Barnes run the offense? Does Nate Johnson move to running back? Does he play slot? There's what's, like you said, there's a lot to be excited about because almost every piece of this team. Ja'Travis Broughton is the only graduate who's not coming back. And Brant Keithy was never here, so it's not like I need that senior player. Would love to have him, but I just think he's going to move on. And honestly, I kind of think that Cam Rising's probably going to move on. It'll be a very interesting offseason. But overall, tough game, no points in the second half. Sums up your loss. You're up 28-24. You put a 3-point or a 7 points, maybe 14 points. You threw an interception driving to score in the red zone, just like you did at Oregon State. You got lucky they didn't return it all the way past the 1 yard line that they dropped it on the one.
Somewhere Kalen Clay is smiling.
I know. I tweeted out karma. I was just like, you know what? I was watching with my two kids, and I go, go pick it up. Go pick it up.
I know. It was so obvious. Because
it was so blatant.
And the fact that his teammates, watched him, and the only one that did anything was Mokafisi.
Yeah, who's just trailing the play.
There's no way he should have probably even been there.
Bryson Barnes looks like a barrel of TNT just went off, and he's like flipping over because he's trying to make a tackle. And then you see Mokafisi, just the guard, just rolling on up, picking it on up, putting him on the 1 yard.
The fact that he's the guy that's there and not like a cornerback that was trying to catch him.
Or like, where's Jalen Glover or Jaquinta Jackson?
Where's your speed
then
guys?
Then we can get it off of the 1 yard line, okay? And then imagine if the finish, they didn't get the safety and you're down by five and you're driving to score. But anyway,
what a weird sequence of plays. Those back to back plays was just crazy.
Well, back to back plays. And then they didn't have the ball in the whole fourth quarter.
I know.
So it's like those two defensive plays for Washington really changed took the wind out of the sail of Utah and just really. Who would have predicted that the fourth quarter would have no points? It looked like Washington had the ball the whole time. And, you know, kudos to Morgan Scally, especially that last drive. That was a bend-don't-break scenario, calling timeouts. But if I summed up the game, and I know we got a lot of segments to break this down, the offensive line in the second half wasn't...
Only three, Christian. Okay, we only have three segments. That's what they gave us.
The second half, the offensive line was not giving Bryson Barnes time. He had people in his face. And then the D-line just never got home. D-line wasn't getting home.
But the thing is, you're not going to see those numbers, and maybe I'm wrong, you're not going to see those numbers in the box in the box score, but the thing is, they got pressure to where it forced him to get the ball out sooner. I mean, because when he did have time, He threw strikes, but they put pressure on him.
But they were perfect balls, but they were obviously thrown to Rome. Those two touchdowns, those are perfect throws. But that's the risk, right?
And linebacker almost gets home, but he barely gets it off to Rome.
But that's the risk, right? Yeah. And that's the risk Morgan was willing to run, is that you're going to leave a guy man-to-man coverage on the back end that you need to get home, and you're just not. You're not going to get home. And it was superior offense versus good defense.
Bad PI call on Miles Battle. That ball that was out of the end zone by, I don't know, 15 yards.
Yeah.
I think that was a bad PI. And of course they ended up scoring a touchdown there. I think that was actually when I think Penix ended up running it in himself.
Yeah, the little option to left.
Yeah. So
you're not going to win them all.
No, you're not. But I will, like you talked about that defense, and that defense, I mean, despite them holding Penix, that, you know, or holding Washington to 24 in the first half, his numbers weren't great. They weren't great in the first half. They were better in the second half. He started finding his guys, and he was much more accurate. But in the second, and they didn't score as many points. But in that first half, they were he was pretty inaccurate, and that was all in part to the defense.
Yeah, the second half I think I read you the stat line. In the first half, he was 13 for 27. Bryson Barnes had outgained him. In the second half, he ended up having, I think, 42 attempts. I'm trying to find his second half, quarter and half stats. He ended up going 24 for 42 for 332, but he was effective in the second half. I think he only had minimal incompletions. But like you said, Morgan was bringing, they were playing man-to-man, they were playing chess. If you noticed, whether you followed this or not, people, they get into an audible where Washington did it on the first one. They had a trips formation to the left. They moved him all the way over to the right. They did still a trips. They had a man-to-man. That's where they hit Rome on that first touchdown deep. They did that three or four times, and Morgan would switch. He'd move to a zone, and they'd switch live, which was pretty cool because if he was going to just stay man-to-man, that would be an unintelligent D coordinator. Morgan is brilliant. He graduated with a 4.0. He's an amazing coach. Just tough that, we couldn't come up with just a turnover. I don't think Utah had a turnover. That's really the difference in the game. If you did the bend, don't break, I think you limited Penix. I think you're happy with the result, meaning you held him to 35 points total, really 9 points in the second half. You held him on a 2-point conversion too. So, overall, I think the defense wishes they could have got a turnover or a couple more sacks, but the fact that, you lost to a quarterback that threw two strikes to Rome, they were perfect balls when you were trying to put pressure.
Utes, they fall in a thriller, 35-28 to Washington. We'll have more breakdown coming up next, as well as we're expecting to get some post-game audio. We've got KSL Sports Utes insider Michelle Bakken there in Seattle, so we hope to have some sound here coming up to hear from Kyle Whittingham and maybe a couple players as well. You're listening to the Ute post-game show right here on 102.7, the KSL Sports Zone.
All the reaction, the post-game interviews, and your phone calls. The Ute Post-Game Show, presented by Zions Bank, begins now on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on back to the Ute Post-Game Show, Utes Fall. To Washington, 35-28.
Down goes the Utes.
Down goes the Utes in a game that looks like the Utes, they had the lead, and it looks like it was looking like they might be able. I mean, you had balls starting to, they were bouncing. You had Sione Vaki in that first half. It was everything was going the Utes' way in that first half. He fumbles the ball. He jumps right back on it, which with three or four Washington guys right there, and somehow he was able to get it. You had Bryson Barnes. He goes 17 of 30, 267 yards, two touchdowns. They only rushed for 115 yards. Yvonne Vailey, he was the man of the game. That had, he had an unbelievable game.
He really did.
Five receptions, 145 yards, no touchdowns, but he had some big plays. Long being 68 yards, and then you had Sione Vaki, who had four catches for 67 yards and a touchdown. Another one of those runs where he got around the edge, and you think somebody's going to catch him, and all of a sudden he's got that extra burst of speed, and he just takes off. Now, Christian, I want to throw something out. I mean, we're not going to make it about the refs, but we're going to make it. That second half
was... Do you want to?
No. The second half was...
We can. I'll do it.
It was slow. The second half was slow.
Very slow.
You had in the first half, because I took a screen grab of just the stats to send it out, that you had, penalty-wise, you had the Utes had three penalties for 34 yards. Washington had four for 31 yards in the first half. So to finish it, how they finished was Utah had eight for 97 yards. So they had four more penalties, and Washington had 11 for 100 yards. That's a lot of penalty yards right there in the second half.
I think Utah, on average...
Like it got sloppy.
On average, Utah's had 30 yards total on penalties on the year. So, again, well above the average. Just some weird holding calls or some weird calls against Washington, too. There were some PIs that some weren't even needed to be done. I think there was one onto Travis Broughton where it was on the sideline. It was first and 20. It didn't need to be had because you're right there. But you're going to play handsy when you're desperate. And you're stuck on an island on man-to-man. And Morgan had him out man-to-man the whole time. And Zamaya Vaughn came up with some big tackles. There was one tackle on third and five that he came up and made some big plays. But really, if we sum up the game, I think we were just as surprised as everybody with – you know, Bryson Barnes going 13 for 17 in the first half for 238 yards.
Man, he was just dealing.
They had 13 first downs. They were 4 for 6 on third down, so they were 67%. They had 36 total plays. Second half, guess what? You only had four first downs. You had the ball for 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. If you want to know a really sad statistic and why it felt very odd in the fourth quarter, guess what the total yardage in the fourth quarter was for Utah versus Washington? And it wasn't a lot for them either. Utah only had 16 rushing yards in the fourth quarter. And for passing, they only were 1 for 5. Washington was 6 for 7 for 43 yards. So you
was that just them taking what was given to them as far as, I mean, they were able to run pass in the first half. Is that just them thinking they were going to be able to do that? Or was there just no corrections, any changes made at halftime?
Yeah, so...
Because it felt like they just stayed with the same game plan.
Yeah, well, they found...
And it was a successful game plan in the first half.
They found something because they weren't going to go to the pass. They sped up and went to NASCAR at that first drive. What's interesting is really the third quarter... They had 30 yards rushing in just the third quarter. They had 29 passing yards. They were 3 for 8. So really what happened, they weren't getting first downs. They were behind on the sticks, and that's the difference. That's how you get time of possession. That's how you move the ball down the field, and this sounds very rudimentary. But when you don't get – when it's three and out real quick and it's 2 and 3 times in a row – all of a sudden, that fourth quarter magnifying glass gets a lot bigger. And with that that interception in the red zone to them running the ball all the way and dropping it on the 1 yard line, and Mokafisi dives on it, and then you get a safety, and then you're down by 7, and then you punt the ball back to Washington on a safety. So then Washington started the second half with the ball. They got the ball back on a safety, and there was basically a turnover. So overall, Washington had time of possession. But the difference, too, is on fourth down, Utah was 0 for 1. Washington got two fourth down conversions, two big ones. One was a pass out.
And they might have gotten two others, except for they had penalties.
Yeah.
They were going to go for it again. They were gambling.
The one that I was surprised, and they had a delay of game on fourth down. So it's like that one is just.
Fourth and five, which turns into fourth and 10, I think is what
it was.
Yeah,
but
like
they end up kicking a field goal, going down 28-27. But overall, the second half, genuinely, I read you the statistics. The second half totals in rush yards, you weren't outgained on the ground, but total yards was 76-197. So, you know, as you look at, you had 306 in the first half, 76. You ran out of gas. Washington bow at its neck. You threw an interception in the red zone. And it felt very like Oregon State, but Bryson was playing QB. And so, credit to Washington. I think what's tough, and I think we talked about this, this team, if I compared both teams, Oregon and Washington, this team doesn't feel like a world beater. This right. doesn't feel like whether it's Oregon or TCU of 2011 who beats, you know, Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, who's just amazing, who just destroys everybody. This is a good Washington team. Credit to them, they're undefeated. Oregon superior, so it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. Do they go win against Oregon State? Even if they lose to Oregon State, they could still beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. Their college football playoffs are well alive. It still will be an interesting finish for the Pac-12 to watch here in the next two games because season's coming to an end. We got Arizona on the road next
week.
Don't
say it, Christian. It's not coming to an end. I can't believe the season's coming to an end.
It's gone fast. And then you got a Turkey Day and then Colorado. Dion coming into town.
And it's been such a – I don't know. I don't know how Utah – I mean, it's been – the thing is, you look at this team and you were, you know, going to this game, you were, you know, 7-2. But the thing is, the team was never healthy. We've talked about it all season long, playing with threes and fours. And – It's the season has felt long for that reason. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be one of those seasons that it's like, man, what could have been if we just had stayed a little bit healthier in some of the key positions, because they've shown that they've got depth in a lot of positions and a lot of key positions. There's just one that they don't have the depth, and that's quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most important one.
But here's what's crazy. You look at his first half and you're thinking, wow, we got four touchdowns. He's gone two touchdowns.
It was two different Bryson Barnes. You had a Bryson Barnes that looked like the quarterback that showed up, you know, against Arizona State and against USC.
And against first half of Florida.
In that first half, exactly, against Florida in those first couple drives, you're thinking, okay. And then it was just became, and you know, credit to Washington's defense, but then it came.
Our O-line wasn't helping him in the second half.
Yeah, the O-line didn't help him much, and it just be. It's hard to. I mean, the guy scrambled his. He scrambled
yeah,
his
he's
ass
been
off.
Doing that. Yeah, he's been
like
doing
he
that.
Really did.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those runs he was able to pull out, I was like, wow. He was, you know, it's 2nd and 20, and all of a sudden he clips it. It's like third and seven.
Yeah,
3rd and 10. It's like, okay, he got a chunk of that back.
He's a guy you can never question his heart. And again, I think that's why Kyle loves him, loves his fabric. Can Nate Johnson progress next year? But again, maybe we talk about this on the final break. But overall, I think what's exciting is even with the season that you have these expectations going into the season, midseason you had to pivot real strong. You realize there's no way he's coming back. Brant Keith, he's probably not coming back to play at the U. He's probably going to go to the NFL. Does Cam Rising come back? You got Isaac Wilson. You're signing really good recruits, 3- and 4-star guys. Does Cam Rising come back for one more year? Do you want Cam Rising back next year? Or do you want a clean break and move on and play in the Big 12? And next year, what's unique is you're not playing Oregon and Washington. You're playing Arizona State, TCU, you're playing in the Big 12, you're playing in Oklahoma. Can you get in the big dance of 12 teams and then see what you can do? Because this team's dangerous. You can beat anybody in neutral fields. I'm more excited about next season. I've never been more excited about a next year in college.
This defense has you geeked, doesn't it?
The defense.
And the offense.
The offense, but it's also, I think, that finally the landscape changed in a bad way. I've been wanting a playoff. I'm like, why is this the only sport that doesn't have an 8-12 team playoff? NCAA basketball has it. Heck, high school football has it. That's all it is. And football is all about, like baseball, who's hottest at the perfect time. And it's really hard to know what team's hot because you play one bowl game and move on. Or in this case, subjective college football playoff, you vote, we examine their record, who's played the best all year, and overall, a lot to get excited about for next year. But how you get ready for next year and you keep landing recruits, you got to keep winning recruits, you got to keep winning the portal, is you got to finish, you got to win it, you got to win at Arizona. That's going to be a hard game next week.
Right.
A game you could easily lose, you really could lose. And then you never know with Shedeur Sanders and Deion coming to town after Thanksgiving, and they've lost some.
You can't lose to Shedeur Sanders.
And I know.
That would by the way, that would be a huge win for Colorado. To come into Utah and you get a win against Kyle Whittingham.
Don't jinx it. 2011.
Hey, I'm just saying, 2011, that'd be a bad ending this
2011,
season.
Utah has played Colorado last game right before Thanksgiving. They win, they go to the Pac-12 championship, and they lost to a bad Colorado team.
No, I know. It was a team that had lost like 27 straight at like home or something like that. It was horrendous. It was a terrible team. And they should have had their first trip to the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it came down to. They just needed to win. Everything had already gone their way. Like USC or something. I think
they
had lost
DQ'd.
Or something.
No, USC was DQ'd. Yeah. They couldn't play because they were DQ'd.
And somebody else lost a lot. Like
UCLA. Yeah. They were like, Utah would have been in at 7-5.
Would have been
in. It was crazy.
But you know what? Why not talk about it? Let's talk about it. What else? Cam Rising. Do you want Cam Rising? If he says, "Hey coach, do you want me or do you not want me? Hey fans, do you want me or do you not want me?"
Fans are genuinely going to want him. Are you going to take a proven commodity? What version of Cam Rising are you getting? Are you getting Cam Rising? I thought about this today, and this is a random thought. The Ohio State game against C.J. Stroud and that group at Ohio State with those receivers, and we had no corner, that Rose Bowl game was insane, electrifying. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I think Utah was up like 28-14. You had all the momentum. The band was crazy. Offense was rolling. Mekhi Bernard was running well.
And he's Cam also Rising, playing cornerback.
Cam Rising is running the ball well, right? It was electric. That version of Cam Rising, that swagger of Cam Rising, was unbelievable. The Cam Rising before his injury, the first USC game, I was at that USC game. It was electric. That healthy Cam Rising. What stinks about college football, there's injuries. So what version are you going to get of him? Are you going to get 2022 before his injury, and then he just played? He was hurt, and then he played in the Rose Bowl and tore his ACL. So, heck, if I got him and Brant Keithy. Cam Rising, you're not getting Keithy though. Cam Rising is a.
So you do a deal with Cam Rising, knowing and everything you say is right about what I mean. He's a proven commodity, but is he going to stay healthy? He's never stayed healthy. And what are you doing to your quarterback room as far as telling him, hey, he's coming back again, so you're not going to be the guy? What are you telling your recruits that you're trying to get to come, you know, you're trying to find that next big quarterback? What are you doing with those? Your Bryson Barnes is going to be your backup again.
Listen, I don't hate the devil's advocate, meaning, hey, if you let him go, you could say, hey, some transfer kid. Or
playing another year of college football. Whether it's with Utah, I don't know. He is playing one more year of college football.
I think he'd play with Utah. Would you not play with the guys when you have depth on defense and offense? Devon Vele's, all of the offense is back.
I talked to somebody right around these studios, somebody that does a show on our airwaves. I'm not going to say who it was, but he believes that Cam Rising is going to be, he's going to play another year, but he will be gone. And I thought to myself, my thought was, why would you want to go to an offense that you don't know?
Yeah.
A team, a coach that you don't know. I mean, the only reason would be
it'd be NIL.
Money.
Yeah,
NIL money. That's the only thing that you're doing. And you're not worried about your play.
He's going to go play for SC when Caleb Williams is gone, right? Is that really it?
Or Florida, as the rumors were. Apparently, he's rumored
they,
to.
They kicked
you know,
the
they
tires
were,
on him.
They kicked the tires
they,
on that.
They watched
so.
him. But here's what I would say. Isaac Wilson, freshman, dynamic. Is that what you want to place your bet on? I think he's going to be electric. I think he's going to be great. You also let Dart go play at SC, and he's killing it with Ole Miss, who's a local kid. You missed on Zach Wilson, whose dad played at Utah. Is he having a not the best NFL career? Right. But kid can deal. I personally, I'd ride one more year with Cam Rising if I get the same productivity as I did last year when he was playing and he could run and he was moving right. I'd take him. If he's not healthy and he wants to go he's not all in on Utah and wants to go somewhere else for some money, that's what's weird. I think he's a seventh year senior because of COVID. There's a lot at play. Isaac's going to be there. Nate Johnson needs to throw a bit better. You've got Rose. Bryson Barnes he's going to be a backup or a commodity. So there's going to be a lot of tough decisions. But overall, I'd take a healthy Cam Rising next year to lead this offense and lead this defense from a Cole Bishop perspective and see if he can win a Big 12 championship. And he's going to come back. If he's going to come back, he knows he has a chance to go play in the college football playoff. He can get in with 12 teams. They lose one game in the Big 12, they can still get in, and it's easier than the Pac-12.
Well, we're still waiting to get some audio from Washington, still waiting to hear from Kyle Whittingham. Hopefully we'll get that next segment. We'll also look ahead to what the Utes have next, recap this game a little bit more. You're listening to the Ute Post Game Show. Lloyd Cole, Christian Cox right here on 102.7 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.
All the reaction, the post-game interviews, and your phone calls. The Ute Post-Game Show, presented by Zions Bank, begins now on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome on back to the Ute Post-Game Show. Utes fall to Washington 35-28. Lloyd Cole here with you, along with Christian Cox. And tough one, tough loss for the Utes as they dropped to 7-3 on the season. You know, good season for the Utes, though. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum. I mean, it's dealing with what the Utes have dealt with. The fact that they are 7-3 is, I don't even call that a moral victory. That's pretty remarkable.
It's quite admirable, and it's been an amazing finish considering you lost Lander Barton. For the first, basically, you didn't have Van Fillinger for the first bit. You didn't have Connor O'Toole until game 7. I will say today, there was a guy who was just jumping off. We got to give him a shout out. He deserves his own little time on the stage. The linebackers from Karini Reed and Lavani DeMooney. Lavani was bringing the heat. He had 9 solo tackles, 12 total. Was just flying all over the field. Last week, he was the defensive player of the game, had a great opportunity to play. And as you look at it, you know, it's when injuries happen, that gives people an opportunity to just to step up and get some time. And, you know, he's a junior. He comes back next year, too. So as we look at the overall roster next year, everyone is returning on defense except to Travis Broughton. Miles Battles, Amaya Vaughn, you've got Connor O'Toole, you've got Van Fillinger, you've got Joan Ellis, who got his another sack, so he's got 12 and a half sacks. So there's a lot to get excited about for next year. How you finish these next two games is a big piece of that. And so as you look at the defense, you know, Karini Reed, he had a great day in the office as well. He ended up having 5 solo tackles. But this defense, ran by Morgan Scally, really kept Utah in the game. The fact that they held Penix Jr., he ended up going, you know, 22 for 45, didn't end up throwing for a lot of yards, ended up throwing for 300. But he wasn't really carving you up except for those 2 perfect throws. There's just, again, like we talked about before, Lloyd, there's just a lot of optimism. As we look at this game, and we're going to try to get to some sound here in a second, if you really break down this game, the difference really was time of possession in the fourth quarter. That safety really put you behind the eight ball because you had a fight. You were down by five. You just threw an interception in the red zone, and then you're down by seven. Time of possession in the fourth quarter for Washington was 12 minutes and 22 seconds. For Utah, 2 minutes and 38 seconds. You only had 16 rushing yards in the fourth quarter. You had no passing yards in the fourth quarter. You didn't have any yards that were positive from the pass, where it was completely different in the first half, like we talked about. And then the other glaring statistics, the third quarter is the same thing. Total yards was basically 60 yards in the third quarter. So as you look at the totals, 60 yards in the third quarter, 29 passing yards in the third quarter, 0 passing yards in the fourth quarter, couldn't get anything going. Defense kept you in the game. You had 2 turnovers, and you were 0 for 1 on fourth down, and you lose by 7 in the fourth quarter. It's something you should be stoked about. It's one of those games that it could have been a lot uglier, but I think what's hard for Utah fans right now is to realize that this Washington team really is beatable, and I would not be surprised if they go next week and take an L to Oregon State, and, you know, they might surprise people and win. And overall, as you look at Oregon versus Washington, the Oregon team I saw on tape and Bo Nix and the overall balance on defense and offense, that team is a college football playoff contender. But that's where I'm excited about next year, is that this subjectivity of who's better, who deserves to get in, that's going to go all the way away because they're going to get 12 teams in. But if you're a Utah fan, you couldn't get the offense rolling in the second half. There was an offensive PI that was just ridiculous. But we'll get out here to sound here in a second and listen to what coaches have had to say.
What do you say we do that right now, Christian?
I say we do it.
Kyle Whittingham following this 35-28 loss to UW.
Okay. Outstanding college football game. Proud of our guys. They played hard start to finish. Played really well offensively in the first half. Not so well in the second half. I think it was a case of not being as dominant up front in the second half, not getting our running game going as well in the second half. But give them credit. They made plays. They're a good football team, the Huskies, worthy of their ranking. And, you know, like I said, I'm just proud of our coaches and players for the fight they had in them and the just the, you know, the warrior mentality, and, you know, nobody quit. And that's that doesn't happen on this team ever, so that really goes without saying. But tough loss. It's a tough place to play. Got a great crowd. And like I said, they got a good football team. The quarterback is tremendous. And it's got a great supporting cast. The receivers are outstanding. And so that's kind of the long and short of it. So questions.
Kyle, just curious for your thoughts on the sequence with the interception and the fumble at the 2 and then the safety. Just what were you seeing there?
Yeah, well, I didn't realize he had dropped it prior to crossing the goal line. It was way down the other end from where I was standing. But great hustle by Michael Mokofisi. He was right there pursuing the football and ready to jump on it. And just a tremendous heads-up play by that kid. I mean, it's, you know, he's 330 pounds and ran the distance and never stopped on the play and had the wherewithal to understand that he had dropped it early. And so just, I can't say enough positive things about his effort on that and his awareness. Unfortunately, you know, the next play we get tackled in the end zone for a safety. And, you know, it's still better than giving up a touchdown, but it took took some of the wind out of our sails when that happened. But that was something you see in college football, not in college football, in football, for, you know, on rare occasion. It's not unheard of, and it happened today. So,
Kyle, do you have any thoughts on that offensive pass interference that was called on you guys?
I'll just say the refs got their money's worth today. I think it was 10 penalties and 9 penalties and 100 yards and close to 100 yards, so whatever. I mean, I have really no comment on that.
Was Washington doing anything differently defensively to take you guys out in the second?
Not really. And that's something, you know, I got to watch the tape closely, which we obviously will, and see, you know, you make that determination. But like I said, I just don't think we played quite as well in the second half. Well, I know we didn't, as we did in the first half. And you know, I have to see on tape if, you know, there was nothing dramatically different, I can tell you that. But they did make a lot of plays in the second half and held us to a much lower offensive total than what we got in the first half, that's for sure, and shut us out in the second half. We didn't score a point in the second half. So, congratulations to them.
You said you didn't get much up in the front in the second half. Was it something that Washington was doing, or is it?
Like I said, I have to go to the tape and see, but it didn't appear that they didn't make any wholesale changes, and we just couldn't get in sync in that second half. We just couldn't get in a rhythm, and it was completely different than the first half. First half, we were in a great rhythm. We were up and down the field and completing passes and making plays, and we just weren't able to be as productive in the second half.
What did you think of the way that Andy called the game between the two halves? It seemed like you guys were very aggressive early.
Yeah, I don't think there was any problem with the play calling. I think that Andy did a good job, and we just, sometimes that's things how things go, and didn't make as many plays in the second half, and a lot of that is due to they elevated their play.
You talked about this obviously being a tough venue to play. They're a tough team. Mm-hmm. With everything that you had still kind of on the line, how difficult is this loss with that?
Oh, they're all difficult. And it would have taken a lot of things to happen to stay in the race, even if we would have won. You know, there's no guarantees for anything. We would have had to have some, you know, quite a bit of help. But that's not, you know, really at the forefront of our mind right now. It's just disappointment that we didn't find a way to win that thing. And that's the biggest thing. And so we'll just come back in Monday, watch the film, correct our deficiencies and our mistakes, and get ready to play another game on Saturday. They just keep coming, and we'll be ready. We'll be ready to play on Saturday. Got another tough road trip down to Arizona. They're playing really well. And we're going to have another good week of practice and preparation, just like always.
You mentioned in the lead-up how quickly Panix gets the ball out. It seemed like mm-hmm. you guys were getting good pressure on him and just missing out on getting it. How frustrating is it to see the big plays happen time after time when you're that close?
We're very close, but that's who he is. He's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy. I mean, that's who he is. And so I would say he's the front runner right now from my perspective. And he's a lot like the kid at Oregon, Bo Nix, who gets it out so quick. And all the great ones do get it out quick. You know, you sit there and hold on to the ball, you're not going to be very effective. So he does a phenomenal job of getting the ball out, and he's got a strong arm. He can make every throw in the book. There's not a throw that he can't make.
Bryson almost had 300 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are you seeing the development in real time, or are things starting to click a little bit better for him?
Yeah, they are. And what was it, like 14 or 17 in the first half or some, you know, he's really efficient in the first half, and the receivers were making plays and we were protecting well, and it just seemed like we weren't as good at anything in the second half.
There you go. That was Kyle Whittingham following the Utes' loss to Washington. You heard him in there. It felt like they in that second half they and you know you have a play like that where you know an interception about to be ran back for a pick six, they fumble it at the 1 yard line, and all of a sudden the momentum shifts and it's the momentum's on Utah's side. You get a safety, and that felt like it really deflated. I mean, they didn't get much going in that second half anyways, but it really felt like they could not get any momentum from that point on.
Yeah, and listen, you can second guess and second the hindsight's 20/20. On when you're on your goal line and you're off, that's really the difference in the second half is the offensive line was getting manhandled. The Washington didn't get any sacks, but they were controlling line of scrimmage.
Right.
Like Jaquindon Jackson had nowhere to run. On those, you know what you run? Five wide, quick throw just to get it out. But again, why would you think that? Jaquindon Jackson can fall forward for 2 or 3 yards. The offensive line just didn't protect Bryson Barnes. And I liked what he said, that Washington didn't do anything differently. He thought that the offensive line just didn't help out Bryson as much as they should have, and receivers weren't making the plays and just couldn't get in sync, where the first half was just like every play was the perfect play call. The perfect play call by, you know, Andy Ludwig. Yeah. Everything was going deep.
It was money.
They're great. It was just like kind of like watching Maestro, you know, conduct music. And one thing you love about Kyle, he just shoots it straight. It's something you should be stoked about on the year. It's a tough one. You can hear in his voice. I think he feels what we feel. It was a winnable game that got out of their hands. That if the offense did just a little bit more in the second half, maybe you come out with an outcome and win. Obviously, you still need them to lose to Oregon State. That wasn't what it was about. But it was more of on the road at Washington, who's undefeated. That's a game you could have potentially won
right.
if you put together a better second half on offense, and the offense just pittered out and didn't do anything.
I mean, think about that, though. He talked about that, you know, somebody brought up the question. Bryson Barnes almost had 300 yards passing in the first half.
Yeah, when has he ever done that, ever?
In the first half. Like, you think, it feels like Bryson's sweet spot where you're like, okay, we can win with that, is probably about, like, 160, 170. Yeah. You're like, we can win with that because guess what? We're running. That means we're probably running the ball. We're being effective with the run. You know, if he's having an accurate throwing day of, and he's got about 170 yards, it feels like that's, I mean, but when you're almost 300 yards in the first half, that feels like a really unbalanced offensive attack.
It's really interesting because he, when it's a gotta have it moment, a gotta have it throw, like on third or second down, it's not him.
No.
But all of a sudden he'll get ahead and he's very accurate. All this underneath stuff, his throw to Devon Vele deep was perfect. It was right on the money. When he's in rhythm in what we call NASCAR, he was dealing to King and they were just completing and moving and in rhythm.
Easy to feel that. You get in rhythm and not feel necessarily the pressure in the first half.
Well, that's what he's done well all year, save Baylor, right?
Yeah.
But Florida, he surprised everyone with that big deep bomb to Money Parks. But that offensive pass interference, I'm not saying that's what changed the game and swung momentum.
Go
but
ahead.
You could see,
do it.
You could see on Bryson Barnes' face, he's like, what? He legitimately ran up to the linebacker, which linebackers can bump within 5 yards, and he just pivoted to the right. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you never know how it would go, but you just needed to get a couple first downs, and you had none. You went 0 for 2 in the fourth quarter in first downs. You went 1 for 3 in passing in the third quarter. It was just nothing was going, and it's just a funky game. And overall, if you get points instead of throwing a pick, instead of throwing an interception, maybe it's a little different. But overall, I think what's tough for Kyle, and even as I look at it, that Washington team was a winnable team. It was a winnable team that if you had a little bit more oomph from the offense, maybe you pull it out. But overall, solid season and something to hang your hat on and look at Arizona. It's not going to be an easy one. It really isn't. Like,
no.
you could easily lose next week if you don't come out, play the type of two halves that you need.
Absolutely.
Against Arizona.
Real quick before we wrap this thing up, Christian, let's hear from the players. Following this loss, you have Bryson Barnes, Devon Vele, who had that 145-yard receiving game, and then Lavani DeMooney, who was an absolute beast out there.
12 tackles.
Let's hear from
Bryson. What was kind of the difference between the first and second halves in your guys' mind?
Yeah, we just weren't able to get things going offensively. We just couldn't find that spark that we had in the first half.
Were you guys in? Get any clarification on that offensive pass interference, or what did you guys see?
On which offensive pass interference?
The one that was called on you guys that kind of stalled the drive, or
with Mickey? Is that correct? I don't know what happened there. So.
Bryson, what were you seeing on that pick?
On the last throw? Just give my guy a chance.
On the one that they got tipped and then went back, they take it all the way back?
Yep, just a miscommunication on a play.
Well, Vonnie, you guys held them tough for most of the game. I mean, just kind of what I guess talk about your effort today and kind of how that went. I know it's a loss, but...
I'm proud of the defense. You know, I think everyone, you know, just gave it their all, left it on the field. But at the end of the day, they just made a few more plays than us, and we knew they were going to get theirs. But yeah, we just not enough production from us. You know, when we're bringing seven men, and yeah, they're just one on one. We're yeah, we seem to get home on more blitzes.
Devon, what was working for you in the first half?
Just appreciative of Bryson giving me chances. We had the matchups that we wanted. We made the right calls, and we just, you know, it's just a blessing that I even made the plays that I made. So just being in the right spot at the right time.
Devon, how does it kind of affect the team mentally when you have that play where it's the pick six and the apparent touchdown, and then it's called back and your ball, and then all of a sudden the safety right after? It seems like that's kind of a tough kind of sequence of events to navigate.
Yeah, I mean, we're used to the adversity. We practice it all the time. We go through things. I mean, there's always going to be plays in the game that are going to test us, are going to push us. It's just how you respond. And so it was a whole myriad of emotions that was going on, that whole sequence. And we were just trying to do our best to respond in the correct way that we needed to.
Bryson, how tough is this loss for you guys? I mean, kind of walk us through your emotions right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not great. We were rolling on offense the first half, just wasn't able to find something in that second half. And, you know, losing's never fun, but, you know, I love the group of guys, love our teammates, and, you know, we're going to get through it.
Was it anything that they were doing differently defensively, or was it you guys just couldn't quite find that same?
Yeah, I mean, halftime, everybody's going to make adjustments. We just got to figure out, you know, what they were adjusting to. We just weren't able to find that spark like we did in the first half.
There you go. That was Bryson Barnes, Devon Bailey, and Lavani DeMooney. As we were talking there while that was playing, Lavani DeMooney, he had himself a ball game. 12 tackles, 9 solo. No sacks. He almost got there a couple times on Michael Penix Jr., but that is one hell of a backup linebacker.
I think his hair was on fire. It's ridiculous. He could be starting at Stanford. He could be starting at any Pac-12 school, genuinely. He chose to come home and play here.
That's one of those transfer portal. There's not always a lot of wins in the transfer portal. I mean, the Utes have definitely struck out, but that's a home run.
It's a huge upgrade. Right, you don't know how Lander's going to rehab next year, and you hope he's back. But think about it. You got Carini Reed, Lander Barton, Lavani DeMooney is your three linebackers. Those are world-class linebackers. And Lander's obviously got a pro career ahead of him. Carini might be able to get himself on a roster. I love their style. I love their mentality. I love the two DNs and those linebackers. And the whole defensive unit coming back next year is going to be awesome. But overall, you know, they should hold their heads high. But it was interesting that he kept saying the same thing, Bryson Barnes. They just didn't have a spark. There was no sparks at all. There was no offense.
Which is like,
that's crazy
it's kind
to
of,
me.
And it's strange to hear that because
couldn't find a spark. It's like, well, how could you find nothing?
You're playing the number 5 team in the country. There's got to be some fire, some sparks, something. Like, how do you, I mean, you tell me, Christian. How do you get that going when you're a player? Like, what do you need to get that going?
This is an age-old debate. Offense, defense, you're one unit, really. But I've played in some games where you're like, holy cow, the offense just did that. I can't believe they just destroyed Alabama and they put up 21 points real quick in the Sugar Bowl. The offense has led. Brian will always deliver. And then there's been other games where, you know, you go on the road against Iowa State and you put up 55 real quick, and then you play against another team in that same year and you play against TCU and you put up 6. So it's like you never know, and you can't play the blame game, and it's tough to see it flip so hard. And I bet the offense got a little, hey, we're moving it, we're scoring, we're doing great. Right. And then Washington's like, we got to ratchet it up, and they were playing more physical. They were getting to Bryson Barnes.
And it did feel, we can come back. I mean, I think there's a spark with the defense. When they came out and they had 2 straight stops, you're like, okay, Utah's, they're getting some stops. So they got to get some. And when they didn't get anything going, you're like, this could be a problem. Like, you got to get something going. And maybe that spark couldn't happen because, to be honest with you, there were times where maybe they had a little something going, a little juice, and all of a sudden a penalty happens, and all of a you're back behind the sticks, and it felt like some of those penalties, you know, put out any sparks that there may have been. anything that was trying to get going, they were put out by some penalties.
Yeah, you have four.
Whether good or bad.
Four first downs total in the second half. Total. 70 yards total in the second half.
It finally felt like, how many times have the refs been screwing teams that are trying to get to the playoff? Like, they've screwed. Like, I'm telling you, blatantly screwed, like, say, USC or what, like,
sure.
Like, in a game, you're like, wow, how do you not call that? Like, somebody, whether it's like a targeting that kicks out a big time player. And they've been doing this for years where they hose a team that's playoff bound possibly if they win this game, and all of a sudden they lose. But this is the year they're going to be like, okay, we've got a playoff team. Let's go out on top.
We
got to
make sure. It's like, oh, this one looks – it's the fourth quarter. He's a tight end.
Should have been doing this whole time.
He just pivots. He doesn't even do anything. We can go rewatch it in slow motion, genuinely. And it's not that this play it's make or break, but it's the fact that offense is a momentum game.
Yeah.
You go from first down and going over the 45 to first and 20 the other way, because an offensive pass interference is a huge penalty. But overall,
as Kyle Whittingham said, they got their money's worth, or
the refs got their money's worth.
He said something along. He's like, I'm not going to say anything, but they worked. They were working in the second half. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
I don't know which way they were working, but whatever.
I like the way he said it, but it's been a fun year. Finish strong. Got two left.
Two left. Finish strong. Next week they'll be heading on the road to Tucson to take on Arizona, who got a win against Colorado. And Christian.
And they're ranked.
They're ranked. A ranked Arizona team. Jed Fish is doing an unbelievable job.
They might be ranked higher than Utah next week. Right? Wouldn't you say?
As far as the playoff, in the playoff rankings, the Utah is 18. But they jumped up to 13, and they just held their own against Washington Washington. Okay. So as far as the AP, Utes are ranked 13th, where Arizona is ranked 23rd. So it might be like a 19.
Doesn't really
18.
Matter.
No.
Doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. But we'll do this again, but we are going to have to do it next week without Christian. Christian Cox is going to be out and expecting a child.
Your next
child be a masculine child.
May he be.
You have to go watch The Godfather.
I can't believe I haven't watched Godfather.
I told Christian earlier today, I said, may your first child be a masculine child. And he was like, what are you talking about?
I was like, is this just some like machismo move you're pulling here?
Yes.
It feels very like you.
Totally.
Yes, I'll have to watch The Godfather. We're very excited. My wife is, this is our sixth child. This will be our third boy.
May your sixth child be a masculine child.
May he be.
You said you're expecting a boy, right?
It's a boy.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it will be. There's nobody more masculine than Christian Cox.
Well, yeah. Have you met my wife? She's a baller too. So, the Fry Cox genetics are pretty decent.
You know what, Christian? I am extremely happy for you. Give mama a big congratulations from us. From the Zone staff, thank you for all you do. We really appreciate everything you do, man.
Thanks, Lloyd. Camille will appreciate that.
You've earned it. So congratulations to Christian and the family as they are expecting another child. We'll do it again next week. You've been listening to the Ute Post Game Show. Utes fall 35-28 to Washington. You've been listening to the Ute Post Game Show here on 102.7 FM HD2, the KSL Sports Zone.